I would like to just add on to that because I was noticing a similar thought. And in fact, just to add on, if we look ahead to verse 5, he keeps on going down. He had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, and he laid down while he was there. And I'd like to suggest that this next set of verses, we have the disobedience emphasized in his behavior, but also the price of disobedience, because when he went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he had to pay the fare. And if we would just make a spiritual application from that, he had to pay the fare. Sin will always cost you more than you wanted to pay, and it will always take you farther than you wanted to go. And Jonah has to go down. In order to flee, he has to pay the fare. When the Lord brought him back, he gave him a free ride. Right? Gave him a free ride in the great fish. But Jonah, when he's fleeing, he had to pay the fare. And what he might have said, he knew he was fleeing from the word of the Lord, but he might have said, look, I want to go in the opposite direction, and here's a ship going to Tarshish. Perfect. Perhaps this really is the will of the Lord. Maybe I should go on this ship because the circumstances seem to be just lining up for me. There's a reference to Tarshish in the books of Kings also. I don't remember. It might have been even in the reign of Solomon. And it says that they went every 3 years. It wasn't like it was an easy trip all the way across the Mediterranean. Likely, as we've said, Tarshish is in the area of Spain. And this wasn't a trip that was made every week or every day, evidently, at least in the time of the kings. And so now it just happens. Look, there's a ship going to Tarshish. But we can't use circumstances to make us feel satisfied that we're obeying the Lord if the word of the Lord has already said to do something different. We cannot say, oh, I think things are just working out, when we know the word of the Lord has already said something different. So he's disobedient. He goes down and down and down. But he has to pay the price. And as we look at verses 4 and onward, perhaps we could move into that section, we see that there's not even a mention of the trip. It's as if, obviously, they've already been sailing for a time between verse 3 and verse 4. But not a single thing is mentioned except the fact that the Lord is not going to let Jonah have a restful trip. The Lord sends out a great wind. The Lord is going to disturb the desire of Jonah to flee from his presence. And perhaps we could look at that passage to follow on, since the time is moving.
Just a couple.
If we're going down, as in the case of Jonah, he's going down, he's paying the fare, it's all in relation to the fact that he has in mind to get out of the presence of God. And I want that to sit as a challenge to our hearts. I'm reminded of Psalm 139 that says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither flee from thy presence? Jonah hadn't the gravity of that in his own soul. That God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's going to be in Tarshish. He's in Joppa, no matter what. And if you attempt to move away from his presence, there are going to be severe consequences. I tend to think often of the truth that's connected with the fact that this book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. And Jonah had not gotten the gravity of that.
Just a couple of principles. In the New Testament way, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither bond or free, barbarian, Scythian, male or female, but we're one in Christ. So you lose your identity when you trust Christ as your Savior. You're a believer. You're a Christian. That's one principle. That's true. Also, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. So it's free as a ticket. Start off today, sinners to glory, nothing to pay. So the Lord Jesus has paid it all. So there's the gospel aspect, even in the book of Jonah.
Just want to quickly comment. Sometimes we, I know we want to move on, but just quickly on verse 3, the fact that he found a ship going down to Tarshish. Sometimes we rely on the fact that circumstances happen, and we look to the circumstances. We say, perhaps that might be the will of the Lord. And one quick thought came is that, yes, the Lord sometimes does use circumstances, does use people, but he'll never cause that circumstance to be inconsistent with what he's already said, with what the word of the Lord that had already come to Jonah to go down. So perhaps Jonah came here, found a ship, and said, perhaps this is what I'm to do. And sometimes we, as we move about, we see certain things and we say, perhaps this might be the will of the Lord. But if the Lord has already spoken and already given some direction and guidance as to what to do, he'll never, that circumstance that may appear, that person that may come and say something that we might then translate as part of the will of the Lord, will never be from God if it's inconsistent with what he's already said.
One of the things that takes place here in Jonah's life is in his failure, God's sovereign will still is accomplished. God is still going to use him, and we know the end of the story, but we're going through it verse by verse. And he's suddenly now among men that he wasn't supposed to be, but God's sovereign will is at work. And these men are actually more religious and devote to their false gods than Jonah is to the true God. And sometimes God uses unbelieving people to rebuke us in our walk with him. And they say, they're more devout in their devotion to false gods than I am to the one true living God. And what happens? What do these men do when trials come? Are they fleeing from the presence of their false gods? No, it says in verse 5, they're crying to their false gods. And then they're waking up Jonah. And, well, first they're throwing out cargo. They're doing what naturally you would do to save your life. This was not just a light storm that came upon them. This was a life-threatening storm. And these were hardened mariners. These were men that knew what they were facing. This was something that they had experience in dealing with in the past because they knew what to do. But still, they couldn't save themselves. And then they finally find Jonah. He's asleep. You know, he had fallen asleep. And I don't think this is just physical sleep. I think he had fallen spiritually asleep. And it typifies the believer that's fleeing the presence of the Lord. We can't even hear the voice of the Lord finally because we're so far from him. We're his, but we're far, far from him in our walk and our ways. And so they have to wake him up. The captain, it says in verse 6, the shipmaster, the top guy, he comes and he wakes up Jonah. What a rebuke in that fact. He didn't just send one of his underlings down, but he has to get Jonah. And he wonders why he's sleeping, you know. Our behavior speaks volumes to those around us, how we behave in front of them. And they're all doing something to try to save their lives. And what they see is a man here who is doing nothing, not even praying to his true God. He's just sleeping. So there's much in this God's sovereign will. And we'll find that these men who Jonah wasn't called to preach to, actually God in his sovereign will save them. And they will even learn how to pray to him, pray to the Jehovah, the one true God. So it's wonderful in that way.